So I want to make some reflections on how to theorize the new and the old. Just two examples. Some people, scholars, argue we live in a completely new society. They call it an information network, post-industrial knowledge society, and so on. Others say that's complete nonsense. Not much has changed. We still live in a capitalist society. Second example, social media and Web 2.0. Some says this revolutionizes communication, it revolutionizes the internet. It's a new 2.0 internet now. Other people say not much has changed in the long run, yeah, in the communication system or also in the internet, which poses the question of how to understand the relationship between the new and the old. And my first point is that I think Hegelian dialectics helps us in this respect, and dialectical philosophy helps us in this respect. Because for Hegel, nothing ever changes completely and nothing ever stays the same, whereas at the same time, everything stays identical and everything changes all of the time. So there's a dialectic of change and continuity in the world. And if we assume that the world is material, then it means it's also dynamic. Yeah? So what materialism means is that the whole world consists of units of matter that interact, which results in changes and reproduction of the overall system at the same time. So how we can think of the world is, if you look at the world, and it can be the social world or the natural world, with a magnifying glass, you can zoom in or you can zoom out. And it depends on the level of granularity if you are observing changes or continuity. So dialectical development, yeah, depends pretty much on the level that we are looking at. There are different forms of dialectics. Yeah? What I like in Roy Basker's work, there's a book that he wrote in 1993 called Dialectic, The Pulse of Freedom, is that he distinguishes between a real negation, which means change at some upper level of or continuity and reproduction, change only on some upper level of analysis, transformative negation, that's at some mid-level continuity and change, and radical negation, which is at the fundamental level of analysis. So think, for example, of knowledge. We constantly produce knowledge. Even if we sleep, we produce some kind of knowledge in our dreams. Yeah. So you could say knowledge constantly changes. At the same time, there is a certain form of continuity, for example, of our fundamental political and moral values. They change, maybe not at all for, over a long time period, but then in some maybe existential situations where our where the world for us subjectively is challenged as it is, then it might change at a more fundamental level. So that's my first point. The second point, new and old media, or how to theorize digital media. So I think it's good that Kalle is here. Kalle wrote an article in 2007 called Discipline or Field, Soul Searching in Communication Research, published in Nordicom Review, where he argued that the distinction between critical and administrative research still makes sense for our field, especially in relationship to the study of digital media, where he observed that new interdisciplinary institutions that study digital media have emerged, where he argues that these departments tend to be rather uncritical. When you come into this building, or when you go out again, this building, there's also Westminster Business School. Look on this, on the front side of the building, it says in huge letters, Westminster Business School, and then a couple of key categories, like a cloud tech, yeah, that are important, like accounting and so on. Two of these terms listed there is digital marketing and social media. Yeah. So I think, so why is it that social media, digital media, and so on, attracts a lot of capitalist business interest? I think it's not because it would be inherent in ICTs themselves, yeah, but it's inherent in the kind of culture of the new, a kind of culture of tech entrepreneurialism that is associated with neoliberal governmentality. So ICT research is also at the forefront of the neoliberal restructuration of academia. Yeah? Computer scientists and so on, yeah, it's quite easy for them to cooperate with companies. However, there's also an alternative tradition in the study and practice of digital media. Think of free software, non-commercial open access publishing, the digital commons and so on, yeah, which are sort of elements of a kind of digital communism. Yeah. So I think we need an alternative tradition in studying digital media and social media, which I would then call critical digital media. media studies and critical social media studies. My third point is that Marx's theory and Marxist theory matters a lot today, which for some people has come as a surprise. One of these people who has reminded us of the importance of Marxist theory was the late Stuart Hall, who in an interview in 2012 was saying the following. About cultural studies. In its attempt to move away from economic reductionism, cultural studies forgot that there was an economy at all. Therefore, it's not in a wonderful position nowadays. He says, it's not that Marxism is not around. So Marxism was always around, and in my opinion, always matters as long as there is a capitalist world, really, and a class society. So he says, a Marxist of critical tradition is absent in cultural studies, and that's a real weakness. And I think that's exactly on point. So certain traditions within cultural studies here have forgotten about the economy, but now and about class and capitalism. But now, since the crisis unfolded in 2008, we really see the importance of bringing Marx and Marxist theory back. My fourth point has to do with this country, and I think so. I think if you think politically, then our research topics and the way we are thinking about the world and theorizing the world should also be informed by the political situation. And I think in this country, in the next 5 years, well, the big political challenge is Cameronism. Yeah? So a first theoretical question is what is the relationship between Thatcherism and Cameronism? Yeah? And you can think of this in terms of the new and the old, and is there a dialectic there? And what is Cameronism? Yeah? So I think it's a kind of combination of a neoliberal form of capitalism at the political economical level that it wants to advance, and some form of authoritarian populist ideology. So it combines a lot of levels, yeah, like neoliberal policies, national populist policies, promising more childcare and so on, yeah, lower taxes and so on. It's based on an ideology of hard labor. If you work hard, then you can make it, but only few people succeed, really. Yeah, it's based on anti-trade unionism. It's based on a form of British nationalism or English nationalism. Even I would say there's a horrible racist anti-immigration rhetoric, I think, especially concerning Eastern and Southern European workers at the moment. Euroscepticism is an element. A law and order state is an element that has to do with the whole issue of surveillance and so on. And then the scapegoating of certain groups. I mean, maybe you heard this speech that David Cameron was giving yesterday. That's a quite good example. The scapegoating of groups like the young welfare recipients, migrant workers, unions, and above all also Muslims. So the question here for me is the theoretical question: how do we relate in critical theory to Cameronism, and how does it relate to Thatcherism? And I think that's really important politically, and also for thinking about how to theorize culture, ideology, the media, and the digital in this political situation that we're in. One final observation is about the crisis. This was a topic yesterday. We were saying there are a lot of different crises, actually, an economic, financial crisis, a social crisis, a crisis of the state, of democracy, of public services, a social crisis, and so on. Yeah? So there's a plurality of crises. However, I think that and they all condition each other mutually. However, I think that the economic crisis is of particular importance. It's not determining, but maybe it conditions the other ones a bit more than the non-economic crisis condition the economic crisis. Yeah? And what I'm observing when looking at like data and so on in a lot of countries is the following. Yeah? So the profit rate is the relationship of profits to invested capital. What has happened in a lot of countries in the past decades is the following. On the one hand, the share of wages in the gross domestic product is dropping. Yeah? So wage levels are relatively dropping, whereas profits are increasing. However, if this were the case, then actually profit rates would have to grow, if only this were the case, yeah, and then we would not be in a crisis. However, what happens at the same has happened at the same time is that there have been huge investments into technology and constant capital assets, and here digital investments into computer technologies play a special role that are used for rationalization, automation, outsourcing, now also crowdsourcing of labor and so on. So normally the profit rate, if labor is squeezed, would have to go up. Yeah. However, it has been more fluctuating, and there have not been big growth of the profit rate because of these investments in constant capital. Now, what has happened then in a lot of countries at the same time is that when labor gets squeezed, I mean, people take loans. Mortgages and so on, buy things with credit cards. So consumer debt has been rising on the one hand. On the other hand, if profitability in traditional and also new industries is not that high, yeah, and when it's somehow fluctuating so on, then this spurs financialization, yeah, because there's the hope that on the financial markets and with financial derivatives that you can make big profits there. However, this is also high risk, yeah, and then these things are also related to each other. So the debt is also financialized so on. So, and I think these three tendencies, yeah, that on the one hand, the precarization of labor, on the other hand, financialization, and the third one, digitization of the means of production that is connected to rationalization, outsourcing, and crowdsourcing of labor. I think these are three general tendencies, and I think the left or the progressive forces today have to think about how to relate to these three socio-economic elements. And I think we should not be mistaken somehow. So you could say this is just happening in the West, in North America, and so on, and in China, and so on. The economy is growing, and so on. Chinese economy is growing at the moment, but some of these tendencies are also happening there. Yeah? So in China, there's a huge overinvestment into infrastructure, yeah? And also a financialization of the property market. So some of these relative income inequality is massively rising in China and also other of the so-called BRICS countries. So it could be that some of these tendencies are just in a different form and in a different way repeating itself in other parts of the world. Yeah, and that in some years' time we will see a Chinese financial bubble exploding. Yeah. So I think overall, then the question for progressive forces is, and I think that's really the key question, is that like in this political situation that we're in, yeah, what to do? What is the left today? What is progressive politics today? That's just my question, yeah. All right, thank you.